Being a Vaishnav in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Venkat Bhakta used to worship the deity of Lakshmi and Narayan. Seeing his pure devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Text 110. Nirantar tar sange hoilo sakkho bhav, hasyo parihase duhe sakkhero shabhav. Constantly associating with one another, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkat Bhakta gradually developed a friendly relationship. Indeed, sometimes they laughed and joked together. Prabhu kahe bhatto tomar Lakshmi Thakurani, kanto bakkho sthitapati vrata shiromani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Bhattacharya, your worshipable goddess of fortune Lakshmi always remains on the chest of Narayan, and she is certainly the most chaste woman in the creation. Amar Thakur Krishna Gopo Gocharak Shaddhi Hoya Kane Chahe Taharu Sangam. However, my lord is Lord Sri Krishna, a cowherd boy who is engaged in tending cows. Why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my lord? Ei lagi sukhobhog chari chirokal broto niyam kori tapo kori loyapar. Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha and for a long time accepted vows and regulative principles and performed unlimited austerities. Kashanu bhavo asya na deva vidmahe tabang hrirenu sparashadhikaro jadvan chaya shrir lalana charattapo vihayo kaman suchiran dhritavrata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attains such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. Even the goddess of fortune for this end performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. Purport. This is the quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.36 spoken by the wives of the Kaliya serpent. Bhatto kahe Krishna Narayan aki sharu Krishnete odhik lila boidag thadiru. Venkat Bhatta then said, Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan are one and the same, but the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. Tar sparshe nahi jaye pratibrata dharma kautike lokhi chahe na krishnero sangam. Since Krishna and Narayan are both the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna does not break her vow of chastity. Rather, it was in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. Purport. This is an answer to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's question, and from this we can understand that Venkat Bhatta knew the truth. He told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Narayan is a form of Krishna associated with transcendental opulence. Although Krishna is two-armed and Narayan is four-armed, there is no difference in the person. They are one and the same. Narayan is as beautiful as Krishna, but Krishna's pastimes are more sportive. It is not that the sportive pastimes of Krishna make him different from Narayan. Lakshmi, desiring to associate with Krishna, was perfectly natural. In other words, it is understandable that a chaste woman wants to associate with her husband in all his different dresses. Therefore, one should not criticize Lakshmi for wanting to associate with Krishna. Siddhanta tatta stabedeyapi Sri Krishna sarupayo Rasenat krishyate krishna rupamesha rasasthiti. Venkatabhatta continued, according to the transcendental realization, there is no difference between the forms of Narayan and Krishna. Yet, in Krishna, there is a special transcendental attraction due to the conjugal mellow, and consequently, he surpasses Narayan. This is the conclusion of the transcendental mellows. This verse, quoted by Venkat Bhatta, is also found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.59. Krishna sange potibrata dharma hanahe nash, odhik labhe paiye ar rasho bilash. The goddess of fortune considered that her vow of chastity would not be damaged by her relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, she could enjoy the benefit of the rasa dance. Vinodini lakshmi eva hoy krishne abhilash ihate ki dosh kene karu parihash. Venkat Bhatta further replied, Mother Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune, is also an enjoyer of transcendental bliss. Therefore, if she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna, what fault is there? Why are you joking so about this? Prabhu kahe dosh nahi iha ami jani rasona pailo lakshmi shastre iha shuni. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pulling Venkat Bhatta's leg. So Venkat Bhatta tried to compromise. He said that Mother Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune, is also an enjoyer of transcendental bliss. Therefore, if she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna, what is the fault there? Why are you joking so about this? And Mahaprabhu said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I know that there is no fault on the part of the goddess of fortune, but still she could not enter into the rasa dance. We hear this from the revealed scriptures. Nayam shriyayango unitaranta prasado sarjo shitanam nadina gandharu chankuto anna rashot sabyasya bhujadanda grihita kantho labdha shishanjo udgad braja sundarinam. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, he put his arms around their necks and embraced them. This transcendental favor was never granted to the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls from the heavenly planets, girls whose bodily luster and aroma exactly resemble lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women, who may be very, very beautiful by material estimation. Purport, this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.60. Lokhi kene na pailo ihar ki karon tap kori koiche krishna pailo shruti gan. But can you tell me why the goddess of fortune Lakshmi could not enter the rasa dance? The authorities of the Vedic knowledge could enter the dance and associate with Krishna. Nibhrita marun mano akha dridha yoga juja ridija unmanayo upashate tadarayo api jaju smaranat striya uragendra bhoga bhujadanda vishakta dhiya vayam api te sama samadrishangri saroja sudha. Great sages, by practicing the mystic yoga system and controlling the breath, conquer the mind and senses, thus engaging in mystic yoga and seeing the super soul within their hearts, they ultimately enter into the impersonal Brahman, along with the enemies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the damsels of Braja, the gopis, wanted to embrace Krishna and his arms, which are like serpents. Being attracted by the beauty of Krishna, the gopis ultimately tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Upanishads have also tasted the nectar of his lotus feet by following in the footsteps of the gopis. Purport, this verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.23. Shruti pai lokhi na pai itheki karun ভট্ট কহে ইহা প্রবেশিতে নারে মোর মন। Having been asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why the goddess of fortune could not enter into the rasa dance, whereas the authorities of the Vedic knowledge could, Venkata Bhatta then replied, I cannot enter into the mysteries of this behavior. Ami jib khudra buddhi sahaje asthir, Ishwarer lila koti samudra gambhir. Venkata Bhatta then admitted, I am an ordinary human being. Since my intelligence is very limited and I am easily agitated, my mind cannot enter within the deep ocean of the pastimes of the Lord. Tumi shakhat shei Krishna jano nijo karmo, jare jana ho shei jane tomar lila marmo. You are the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. You know the purpose of your activities, and the person whom you enlighten can also understand your pastimes. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and his pastimes cannot be understood by blunt material senses. One has to purify the senses by rendering transcendental loving service unto the Lord. When the Lord is pleased and reveals himself, one can understand the transcendental form, name, qualities and pastimes of the Lord. This is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad 2.23 and in the Mundaka Upanishad 3.23. Jam evaisya brinute tenu labha tashvaisya atma vibrinute tanum sham. Anyone who is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can understand his transcendental name, qualities, form and pastime. প্রভু কহে কৃষ্ণের এক স্বভাব বিলক্ষণ সমাধুর্যে সর্বচিত্ত করে আকর্ষণ। The Lord replied, Lord Krishna has a specific characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellows of his personal conjugal love. ব্রজলোকের ভাবে পাইয়ে তাহার চরণ তারে ঈশ্বর করি নাহি জানে প্রযোজন। By following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Brajalok or Golok, Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. কেহ তারে পুত্র জ্ঞানে উদুখলে বাঁধে কেহ সখা গানে যিনি চড়ে তার কান্ধে। There, someone may accept him as a son and someone bind him and sometimes bind him to a grinding mortar. Someone else may accept him as an intimate friend and attaining victory over him, playfully mount on his shoulder. Krishna used to wrestle with his boyfriend, and the condition used to be whoever would be defeated have to carry the winner on his back and go around. So sometimes Krishna will be defeated by his friends and Krishna will have to carry the friend, the winner in the wrestling bout, on his shoulder, and they have to make a few rounds around that place. That's how they used to play. Brojendra nandan boli tare jane brojojan, oishorjo gyane nahi keno kono sambandho manan. The inhabitants of Vrindavan know Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, the king of Brajabhumi, and they consider that there can be no relationship with the Lord in the rasa of opulence. ব্রজলোকের ভাবে যেই করয়ে ভজন সেই জন পায় ব্রজে ব্রজেন্দ্র নন্দন। One who worships the Lord by following the footsteps of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi attains the Lord and gets to know him as he is known in the transcendental planet of Braja. There he is known as the son of Maharaj Nanda. Purport. The inhabitants of Brajabhumi or Golok Vrindavan know Krishna as the son of Maharajananda. They do not accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is the supreme maintainer of everything and everyone, and the chief personality among all personalities. In Brajabhumi, Krishna is certainly the central point of love, but no one knows him there as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, a person may know him as a friend, son, lover, or master. In any case, the center is Krishna. The inhabitants of Brajabhumi are related to the Lord in servitude, friendship, paternal love, and conjugal love. A person engaged in devotional service may accept any one of these transcendental relationships, which are known as mellows. One who is in the perfectional stage may return home back to Godhead and attain his pure spiritual identity. So the glories of Vrindavan has been described through these few verses. First, to talk about Venkat Bhatta, undoubtedly he was a great devotee, and Venkat Bhatta was the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, one of the chief associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was a very, very expert scholar, and Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami actually assigned him to compile Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the book concerning the Vaishnava etiquette. And he was very fortunate, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, to have the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was just a little child. Actually, when Mahaprabhu went to South India after taking sannyas, and there in Sri Rangam, he lived in the house of Venkat Bhatta for 4 months during the months of Chaturmash. And at that time, Gopal Bhatta was just a 6-year-old boy, and he received a lot of mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why when he grew up, he just went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He grew up, he took permission from his parents and left home, came to Jagannath Puri, associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu sent him to Vrindavan to help write scriptures and discover the lost tirthas, along with Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. He was a very, very elevated devotee. He was actually Gopal Bhatta Goswami is one of Krishna's associates. He is actually a manjari. In Vrindavan, he is a little girl below 12 years of age. Girls of that age, 7-8 years old girls, are called the manjaris. So, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was a very, very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Venkat Bhatta was Gopal Bhatta Goswami's father. And Venkat Bhatta's brother was Prabodhananda Saraswati. Prabodhananda Saraswati also was another very, very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was a great poet. All of them were actually great scholars, great poets. Prabodhananda Saraswati wrote a play on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's all written in beautiful verses. I was just remembering one verse. It says, describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as non-different from Radha Krishna, says, Jatha jatha gaura padara vinde kriyeto bhakti kritapunja rashi tatha tathat sarpati vidi akashmat radha padam bhojo সুধাম্বরাশি যথা যথা গৌর পদার বিন্দে ক্রিয়েত ভক্তি কৃতপুঞ্জ রাশি অ্যাজ ওয়ান ডেভেলপস হিজ লাভ অ্যান্ড অ্যাটাচমেন্ট টু দ্য লোটাস ফিট অফ চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু টু দ্যাট ডিগ্রি অল অফ এ সডেন ওয়ান পারসিভস দ্যাট হিজ হার্ট হ্যাজ বিকাম ইনান্ডেটেড উইথ দ্য লাভ অফ রাধারানী রাধা পদাম হচ্ছে সুধাম্ব রাশি দ্য নেক্টার এমানেটিং ফ্রম দ্য লোটাস ফিট অফ রাধারানী floods the heart of that person. So this is how he explained that we do not have to separately worship Radha Krishna. We simply have to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we develop our attachment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to that degree we will receive the mercy of Radharani and Krishna. So these are all great exponents of scholars, great exponents of the Vedic literature, and they have accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as non-different from Radha Krishna. And that is the greatest proof that we have. Actually, often when less intelligent people try to challenge us and try to get into an argument, actually they never really probed deep into this subject. So it becomes rather impossible to convince them, or it becomes rather foolish to get into an argument with them. It's like if there is a scientist, a big scientist who has the very deep understanding of nature, and if a child or an illiterate person challenges him, I mean, how can the scientist ever convince that person? Because the language that he is going to use, this other person is not going to understand it. So Krishna consciousness is a science, and only a person who is expert in the scriptures, only a person who has a proper understanding of the scriptures can appreciate these arguments. A fool will not be able to appreciate. And unfortunately, nowadays most of the people are foolish. They do not have any spiritual conviction. They do not have studied the spiritual subject. But still, they want to get into arguments. Actually, Shankaracharya made a law. I mean, according to the Vedic injunction, he followed that law. That is, only a sannyasi will be allowed to challenge another. Unless and until a person is a sannyasi, unless and until a person is in the renounced order, he cannot challenge another sannyasi. And that law was very strictly observed in the Vedic time. Like a person who is in the renounced order, he is obviously in a more elevated position, and obviously his realizations are higher. Otherwise, how could he leave the attachment of the material nature? So if a person who is attached to the material nature was not permitted to challenge a sannyasi. And also Shankaracharya himself also quoted one shloka from the scriptures, and that says, Achinto kholu je bhava natans torkeno jo jayet. The thing that is beyond our sense perception, Achinto, inconceivable. The inconceivable subject matter cannot be established by argument. So that's why Mahajano Jeno Gatasya Pantha. Following the footsteps of the Mahajan is the process. And these are the Mahajans. Prabodhananda Saraswati is the Mahajan. The Goswamis of Vrindavan are the Mahajans. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a Mahajan. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a Mahajan. Srila Prabhupada is a Mahajan. And we are simply following their footsteps. So, we do not have any doubt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. But if others have doubts, then first let them read the books and find out for themselves whether Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God or not. And then they may come inquiring about if they have any doubts. Anyway, we do not actually want to waste time with the foolish people, those who want to just get into arguments for the sake of arguments. Let them give up everything and become a devotee of Krishna. Or if they have any other conviction, let them give up Maya and accept something else first. Then they can talk about whether Krishna is God or Krishna is Chet or Krishna is not God. Now this is the material approach. In the material platform, people do not want to accept Krishna as God. And the same kind, as I mentioned earlier, that the material nature is a perverted reflection of the spiritual sky. And the reflection, the opposites are sometimes alike. In the reflection, the opposites, extremes, sometimes appear to be alike. Like the sunrise and the sunset are diametrically opposite, but they appear to be alike. When the sun is rising in the sky and when the sun is setting, it seems to be similar or alike. So, the material nature being the perverted reflection of the spiritual nature sometimes appears to be like the highest region of the spiritual sky. And that highest region of the spiritual sky is Golok Vrindavan. And the way in the material platform people do not want to accept Krishna as God, surprisingly in Vrindavan also people do not want to accept Krishna as God. But one is out of extreme envy. In the material nature we don't want to accept Krishna as God because of our envious nature. And in Golok Vrindavan they don't want to accept Krishna as God because of their extreme love. Their love for Krishna is so intense that they do not actually care whether Krishna is God or not. And in that extremity of their love for Krishna, they accept Krishna as a friend or as a son or as their friend. I'm sorry, as their lover, boyfriend. So, this also has been very graphically explained by Jiva Goswami, that he pointed out that in the material nature we see that there are different kinds of positive relations. Like there are some relationships that is, we are aware of the person's existence. We know he is there, but we do not have any exchange with him. Like in the neighborhood there is a man and we know that he lives in such and such house and we see him going out to the office or going to the going out shopping and so on and so forth. We know that he is there, but we do not have any reciprocal exchange. So that relationship is called neutral. Now then higher than this relationship of neutrality is servitorship. Like the person in my neighborhood who I know exists but do not have any exchange with, the relationship that I have with my servant is higher than that relation. A servant, of course in the West you don't have servants at home generally, but it is understood that say if you have a servant, then the relationship with the servant is more intense than the relationship with the person in your neighborhood who you do not have any exchange with. Then the relationship with your friend is higher than the relationship with your servant. And then the relationship that you have with your parents is even higher than the relationship you have with your friend. And the relationship you have with your wife is even higher, if at all you are married, higher than your parents. So this way we can see that there are gradual intensification of relationship. Higher than neutrality is friendship. Higher than friendship is parental. I'm sorry, higher than neutrality is servitorship. Higher than servitorship is friendship. Higher than friendship is parental. And higher than parental is conjugal. Now, this relationship we experience in our day-to-day life. Now, the material nature is the perverted reflection of the spiritual sky. So, whatever is there in the material nature must be existing in the spiritual nature. So, he's explaining, looking for that relationship, we first enter into Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, we find, from the material nature, when we approach Vaikuntha, and in Vaikuntha, we find neutrality and servitorship. But in Vaikuntha, we do not find any friendship. In Vaikuntha, no one is Krishna's friend. Even Lakshmi Devi is serving Krishna as a maid servant. So everyone in Vaikuntha is serving Krishna, either in servitorship or in neutrality. Then higher, now we are looking for higher than servitorship is friendship. So looking for friendship, we come to Ayodhya. In Ayodhya, Hanuman is serving Lord Ramachandra as a servant. And in the extremity of Hanuman's love for Ramachandra, in exchange, Ramachandra asks Hanuman, "Hanuman, tell me what you want from me. Ask anything you want." And Hanuman says, "My Lord, if you so desire, please give me your embrace." And Ramachandra embraced Hanuman. So there, the servitorship is turning into friendship. But in Ayodhya still, we do not see a proper development of friendship. There is a tinge of friendship, but no development of friendship. And looking for developed friendship, we come to Dwarka. In Dwarka, Krishna has many friends. Like as we discussed yesterday, Uddhava was a friend of Krishna. So this way Krishna had many friends in Dwarka. But then in Dwarka we do not find parental love. Although Devaki and Vasudeva are present in Dwarka, Rohini Devi is present. So the superiors, like Krishna's parents, are present there, but still they are worshipping Krishna as the Supreme Personality. Although Krishna is their son, but they do not want to understand, they cannot accept Krishna as their son, because that feeling or that realization that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so overpowering that that relationship of parental love does not develop there. Now looking for parental love, we come to Mathura. Krishna is just born, and Devaki's heart and Vasudeva's heart was filled with affection for their little newborn baby. But then immediately after that, their heart became subdued. The joy of the heart became subdued by the anxiety that now Kamsa will come and kill this child. And so this also was a manifestation of parental love. Anxiety for the child. But then Krishna showed them his four-armed Narayan form, and then they immediately recognized Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the parental love immediately became overwhelmed by awe and reverence. So although the parental love just appeared but did not develop in Mathura. Now looking for developed parental love, we come to Vrindavan. And there, Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj are treating Krishna as their little naughty child. Sometimes they, as Prabhupada mentioned, Mother Jasoda chases Krishna with a stick in her hand. Rudantam muhun রুদান্তং মুহুর্নেত্রম যুগ্মং মৃজন্তম করাম ভোজ যুগ্মেন শতঙ্ক নেত্রম। মাদার যশোদা চেস্ট কৃষ্ণা, দেন ফাইনালি সিইং মাদার যশোদা কামিং, কৃষ্ণা জাম্পড আউট অফ দ্য মর্টার, গ্রাইন্ডিং মর্টার, অ্যান্ড র্যান, অ্যান্ড দেন মাদার যশোদা অলসো র্যান আফটার কৃষ্ণা, অ্যান্ড দেন ফাইনালি শি কট কৃষ্ণা, অ্যান্ড অ্যাজ শি কট কৃষ্ণা, then Krishna became very afraid and he began to cry. Rudantam muhur netram jugmam mijantam. He began to cry, tears kept streaming down his eyes, and karam bhoja jugmena shatanko netram. His eyes full of fear, he looked at his mother, and with the back of his palm, back of his hand, he kept on wiping the tears. যশোদাভি অলুখলাদ ধাবমানম, সিং মাদার যশোদা হি ক্লাইম ডাউন দ্য অলুখল অ্যান্ড রান অ্যাওয়ে। সো দিস ইজ হাউ কৃষ্ণা ওয়াজ পারফর্মিং হিজ পাস্ট টাইম, অ্যান্ড মাদার যশোদা ওয়াজ সাবমার্জড ইন অ্যান ওশন অফ ব্লিস ইন দিস রিলেশনশিপ অফ প্যারেন্টাল লাভ উইথ কৃষ্ণা। And sometimes Mother Jashoda would see Krishna's extraordinary potency. Like, they all saw Krishna killing Putana when he was just only 3 days old, killing Trinavarta when he was just a few months old. Then one after another, Krishna killed so many Aghasur, Bakasur, he subdued Kaliya. And these are all wonderful feats. Even at the age of 6, he lifted Giri Govardhan. But when Mother Jashoda was told that how wonderful her son was, Mother Jashoda used to say, how can Krishna, 6-year-old boy, lift Giri Govardhan? It is actually because Nanda Maharaj helped. Actually, Nanda Maharaj was holding it. Krishna couldn't do that. Sometimes when boys would come and complain to Mother Jashoda that Krishna was eating mud, then Mother Jashoda would chastise Krishna. Krishna, did you eat mud? Then Krishna would tell, no mother, I didn't eat mud. And he says, what, do you think that they are lying? He says, yes, they are so envious. They had a fight with me while they were playing, and they became so envious, so unnecessarily they are complaining to you. Then Mother Jashoda says, okay, open your mouth, let's see. So Krishna opened his mouth and Mother Jashoda saw the entire creation inside Krishna's mouth. And she began to wonder, what's wrong with my vision? What am I seeing? Am I delirious or am I seeing things? So although she would see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she would not accept it. So that is the height of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna's friends also have such feelings. Like one day Krishna was having a little argument with Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal is a Brahmin. So he's a little puffed up. So he would tell Krishna, Krishna, you are the son of a Vaishya. At the most, you are a son of a Kshatriya. Because we heard that actually Vasudeva is your father. But you say, I am a Brahmin, so you should show me some respect. And Krishna said, well, you see, I may be born in the family of a Vaishya or a Kshatriya, but you have seen how great my activities are. So at least you should be a little respectful towards me. Because of my ability. Then Madhu Mangal said, what is so great about your activities? Krishna would say, don't you know that I killed Putana when she came to kill me? Don't you know I lifted Govardhan? Don't you know I subdued Kaliya? So Krishna would keep on telling about his activities. Then Madhu Mangal said, oh, you are thinking that you are so great, but don't you know that actually It was I who was chanting the mantra. And it is due to the potency of my mantra that Putana was killed and Kaliya was subdued. And as far as lifting Giri Govardhan, it was I who was propping it with the stick. So this is how Krishna had a wonderful loving exchange with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu also was pulling the legs of Venkat Bhakta. He was trying to establish the supremacy of Krishna in Vrindavan. And he is saying that, look, you are a worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan. And Lakshmi Devi is supposed to be so chaste. She is considered to be the most chaste of all the women in the universe. But can you tell me why your Lakshmi gives up the association of Narayan and runs after Krishna, who is just a little cowherd boy? I mean, if she is so chaste, why she is running after my master, my lord? So this is how the devotees also have a loving exchange among themselves. And through this love for Krishna, they come closer to the spiritual sky, and not only come closer to the spiritual sky, actually these loving exchanges are the source of the joy that every one of us is hankering for. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So should I invite some questions? That relationship is again in awe and reverence. They are not really friendship. Like Bharat is respecting at least as the elder brother, right? Same with Lakshman. So there is no, and the that kind of relationship, the brother, older brother and younger brother, is kind of servitorship. The younger brother considers the elder brother to be the superior and become submissive to him. And that is because the relationship has not become developed due to the lack of development of relationship. Although Krishna is all attractive, but sometimes people cannot accept, I mean, when they do not know Krishna. Like for instance, Krishna may be standing in front of you, but if you keep your eyes closed, can you see him? The same way, Krishna is there, but if you do not open your heart, then can you develop any love for Krishna? You have to open up your heart, then only you can develop a loving relationship. And what to talk about neutral? Most of the people in this world are actually negative about Krishna, envious of Krishna. So this envy is the negative aspect. When you become free from envy for Krishna, then at least we can come to the stage of neutrality. Right? In Vrindavan, what kind of relationship? Neutrality? Actually, in Vrindavan, there is no neutrality. Everyone, you see, neutrality means no reciprocation, right? But in Vrindavan, there is reciprocation. Even neutral objects, neuter genders, right? Like, say, for instance, trees, sand, water, they are also related to Krishna, either in friendship or parental. Like for instance, the water there in Jamuna, they are actually related to Krishna in friendship. So whenever Krishna jumps into Jamuna, the waves rush towards Krishna to embrace him. The bhumi there, the land in Vrindavan, as Krishna puts the stake on the bhumi, on the land, she begins to sway in ecstasy. The trees and plants, as soon as they see Krishna coming, in joy, they become full of flowers and fruits. It's been very beautifully described. In the morning when Krishna comes to the forest, the trees and animals in the forest, all of a sudden they hear the laughter and the sound of the talking of these boys and the mooing of the cows. And then they realize that Krishna is coming. They have been waiting for Krishna all this while. Throughout the whole night, they have been waiting for Krishna. And then when they hear the sound of Krishna's friends or Krishna's voice or Krishna's friends' voice and laughter and the mooing of the cows, the whole forest becomes still. They kind of become stupefied in expectation. And then as they see Krishna coming in ecstasy, all of a sudden they become full of flowers and full of fruits. So this is how Vrindavan is always animate. There is no inanimate aspect in Vrindavan. It's always animate. In Vrindavan, the Brajadham, everything is constantly moving. And the underlying impetus for that movement is ecstasy. They're constantly moving in ecstasy. When you're ecstatic, can you stand still? No, you start jumping in joy. Right? So how can they be still in Vrindavan? So that's why there's no neutrality in Vrindavan. One is Shakya, the other is Parokya. The conjugal relationship in Braja, in Dwarka, is the relationship between husband and wife. Right? The social norms have been recognized or observed. Right? But in Vrindavan, there is no social consideration. No question of marriage. They don't care about what others think. They are simply driven by the love for Krishna. The gopis are running towards Krishna. So that is called parokya. One is married relationship and the other is the relationship between unmarried lovers. Yeah, one has to be very, very fortunate to climb from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan. It is possible, but you have to be aware of it. And it is possible by the mercy of some devotee from Vrindavan. Like sometimes Narad Muni goes to Vaikuntha, right? And he carries some rare souls in Vaikuntha. He gives the knowledge of Vrindavan. And then only they can elevate themselves. Like there's a cowherd boy called Gop Kumar who was elevated to Vaikuntha. So One day Narad Muni came and saw this boy, cowherd boy, Gop Kumar, and asked him, look, in Vaikuntha everyone is free from anxiety and free from lamentation. But how come you look so morose, as if you're not happy enough? Then he said, yes, you see, although I'm so fortunate to have the association of Narayan here, and Narayan is also very, very kind to me, but still my heart is hankering for a little boy who plays flute and who roams around in the forest with his friends. So then Narad Muni hushed him up. He said, quiet, quiet, don't speak loudly here. Then he took him aside and told him, actually you are hankering for Gopal, and Gopal is in Vrindavan. So then he was gradually elevated to Vrindavan. It happens sometimes, from elevation from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan. Yeah. It's good to know, good to become aware of the fact that we are contaminated, and that's why we should approach these very, very elevated affairs very carefully. So carefully, so that, to give an example, Sukadeva Goswami was speaking Bhagavatam in the assembly where Parikshit Maharaj was about to leave his body. The king was about to leave his body, and practically all the sages, all the elevated sages from all over the world assembled there, and he was speaking Bhagavatam. And when it came, when it came to Radharani, he would not even mention her name. Like, he just gave ultimate, he was about to spell out her name, but still he restrained himself. And just he gave a hint ultimately. That there, when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, there was one Krishna between two gopis. But in the middle, Krishna was dancing alone with one gopi. Who is that gopi? Krishna was dancing with 16,000 damsels. But when this particular girl left the Rasa Mandali, then Krishna left all the other gopis and ran after her. So who is that person? And he just spelled out indirectly by saying Anaya Radhika, one who is very expert in her service to Krishna. So we can see that how Sukadeva Goswami, who himself is a Naishtika Brahmachari, Not only a Naishtika Brahmachari, he would not even come out of his mother's womb because he was worried that if he came out then he'll become involved in Maya. So now Sukadev Goswami is hesitating to talk about. I mean, first of all, one way to look at it is Sukadev Goswami, who is a Brahmachari himself, he is describing about Krishna's affairs with the damsels of Vrindavan. So obviously it was not a mundane thing, mundane description. But then again, he was hesitating to reveal the most elevated secret of the spiritual relationship. But although Sukadeva Goswami was hesitant about it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and distributed it without any consideration. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it just to cure the living entities of this degraded age of Kali. The disease of these living entities in this age is so acute that it needs a very strong medicine. And that medicine is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So yes, that's true. I mean, our approach has to be very, very cautious. But at the same time, we have to be aware of it, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it to us. Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Hare Krishna Mahamantra for the Mass, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want the Mass to be just the Mass forever. He wanted them to elevate. And that, of course, he himself didn't really get into elaborate description to the Mass, but he assigned the Goswami. Actually, Mahaprabhu is most munificent, but his followers are even more munificent. And like we can see that Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually for the Mass. We are distributing Chaitanya Charitamrita to everywhere. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing. In the very beginning, Chaitanya Charitamrita is explaining that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as Radha and Krishna's united form is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishna wanted to understand the profundity of Radha Krishna's pastime, Radharani's love for him. And that's why he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to taste it, to understand it. I mean, it is Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are discussing about Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then should we stop reading Chaitanya Charitamrita? And when you are talking about Chaitanya Charitamrita, these topics are going to be revealed. The only thing is that we have to be careful. That has to be reminded time and time again, that Krishna's relationship with the damsels of Vrindavan is not a mundane relationship. It's the diametrically opposite to that. It's the highest pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, it's the same personality, but this beauty is not the beauty of the appearance. This is the beauty of pastimes. It's the same person, but his pastimes makes him appear to be even more beautiful, or his association becomes even more relishable. Yeah, it is a step higher. You see, to be totally unconcerned about the higher authorities is how the living entities are in the material plane. They think that they are the highest and they do not have to be submissive to anybody else. Right? I mean, consider an ordinary mundaner. Right? Like, he thinks that, he is the Lord and Master, and everything he has to do himself. He has to have enough money in the bank to take care of his old age, and so on and so forth. But if somebody thinks that there is a superior authority, and if he becomes submissive to that authority, then at least he becomes aware of a nature superior to this nature, or he becomes aware of the fact that he is not the supreme controller. And then he becomes somewhat submissive to the demigods, and when he sees that his prayers are granted. Like he says, "Oh God, Lord, give me some bread to eat." And then he gets the bread. And he realizes that it's because of my prayer that I got it. And then when he makes further advancement, then he realizes that the demigods are not independent to grant whatever he is praying for. They are actually granting his prayers, being sanctioned by the Lord. And so this is how gradually they ultimately come to the Supreme Personality of God, and become submissive to the Supreme Personality of God. So that, in that sense, it is a step higher. But that is not the ultimate point to reach the demigods or be submissive to the demigods. It's the intermediate state. What is unmovable? Is unmovable. Is it unmovable? Oh, I see. We have to understand in the material relationship, it is unmovable. Like, the soul's movement is not like a material movement. Soul's, achalo ayam sanatana, that is the word that is used. Achalo means unmoving, and sanatan means eternal. So, but the thing is that soul is not moving like the, in a material sense, but actually the soul's activities are movement. Like ecstasy is movement. You can't be sitting at, ecstasy, as I pointed out, in ecstasy you cannot become inert. An inert object cannot be ecstatic. There are two expressions, static and ecstatic. Static means inert, and ecstatic is moving. No, not really, not that. You see, just that you have been included in Mahaprabhu's movement, you see that awareness is there. The highest thing is Vrindavan, highest destination rather, is Vrindavan. So what will happen is that even if you go to Vaikuntha, you won't be completely satisfied. Because you will know that there is a region that is even higher, and that is what will draw you towards Vrindavan in due course of time, due course of elevation. Like, you see, Nrisimhadev is bhakti vigna vinashan. He removes the impediment on the path of devotion. That is what Nrisimhadev does, and that's why we worship Nrisimhadev. That actually our attachment is to Radha Krishna. Our attachment is to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we worship Nrisimhadev and we pray to him that please remove all the obstacles that are there to reach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to reach Radha Krishna. Yeah, there is no difference. Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Chaitanya is non-dual. Then is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. There is no difference. But the point is that whether you'll be ultimately fully satisfied worshipping Nrisimhadev, is that your ultimate approach? That's the question. So what's going to be your ultimate approach? Okay, so that's good. But you know that someday, when you become qualified, you're going to want to go back to Radha Krishna. It's because of the pastimes, you see. Nrisimhadev's pastimes has two aspects. One is his annihilating pastimes. He's annihilating the demoniac propensities or the demons on this earth. And the other one is the protective aspect. Now, of course, there are many devotees, those who are attached to Nrisimhadev. Nrisimhadev has his own abode, and Nrisimhadev has his eternal associates there, right? But the question is whether a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, whether a person, devotee from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's group, from Sankirtan group, will be fully satisfied in the planet of Nrisimhadev. If you feel fully satisfied there, fine, you can go there. Like the example is Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami's brother, Anupam. He was a Ram Bhakta. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami preached to him to become a Krishna Bhakta. So Anupam wanted one. He said, okay, give me one night to think it over. And so then this allowed him to think it over the whole night. And he thought about it the whole night, considered all different considerations. In the morning he went to Rupa and Sanatana and said, I thought about it the whole night. And I understand that Krishna is actually more relishable. But still I can't give up Lord Ramchandra. And then Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami said, that's wonderful. The devotee, the servant who doesn't give up his master, and the master who doesn't give up his servant, that is the most wonderful relationship. So you become a Ram Bhakta. So ultimately, of course, it will depend on one's own relationship, one's own level. Some devotees, even in spite of knowing about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, may not aspire to go to Vrindavan. They may feel the attraction somewhere else. Like somebody may feel extremely attracted to Nrisimhadev and become perfectly satisfied just worshipping him. So it's fine. It's fine. Oh, I see. There, one is from Chaitanya Charitamrita and the other is from Chaitanya Bhagavata. These are the introductory shlokas of the book. Like in the beginning, the Anarpita Charinchitat is in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that one, Ajanu Lombito Bhujo, that is from Chaitanya Bhagavata. That's the first shloka of Chaitanya Bhagavata, describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Ajanu Lombito Bhujo Kanakabo Dato. Their arms are stretched up to their knees. And their complexion is like molten gold. Kanakabo Dato Sankirtanaiko Pitaro Kamalayo Taksho. He is the father of Sankirtan Jagga. And his eyes are like lotus flowers. Kamalayo Taksho. Vishwam Bharo Dijo Bharo Yugadharma Palo. His name is Vishwambhar and he is the best of the Brahmanas, Dijo Bharo, and he is the he came to establish the Yugadharma, the Lord of the Yugadharma. And Bande Jagat Priya Karo Koruna Avataro. I worship the benefactor of the entire creation, Jagat Priya Karu Koruna Avataro, who is the most munificent appearance of the Lord. This is by Vrindavan Das Thakur. What's that? What about Ganesh?
Lord Ganesh also removes the obstacles.
Lord Ganesh removes the obstacles for material success.
Only for material success.
Actually, Lord Ganesh is holding the lotus feet of Nrisimhadev on his head. He is actually a follower of Nrisimhadev, Ganesh. And in a way, Ganesh can be considered as an incarnation of Nrisimhadev in this material planet. The thing is, you see, like, it's the same function in a way. Both are actually removing the impediment. But Ganesh is removing the impediments for material success, whereas Nrisimhadev is removing the impediments for Krishna consciousness. But if one is a devotee of Ganesh, he can approach Ganesh for removing the obstacles for Krishna consciousness, because ultimately the demigods are also devotees of the Lord, and they become very happy actually when you ask something from them for your Krishna consciousness instead of asking for Maya. So Ganesh becomes happy if you pray to Ganesh that please remove all the impediments in my Krishna consciousness. So what Ganesh will do? Ganesh will immediately pray to Nrisimhadev. My Lord, this man is a devotee. You please help him out. Are you talking about the spiritual master in ISKCON?
No.
Oh, I see. Krishna. I'll go refer to that shloka that I quoted about from Prabodhananda Saraswati. That as we develop our attachment to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to that degree, we actually develop our attachment to Radha Krishna. To give a crude example, it's like, you see, last year, you know, Pan Am has a system called frequent traveler's mileage advantage. Like, as you fly Pan Am, you know, you benefit. Like, they give you some credit. And when you reach some, say, 20,000 miles, then they give you a free trip, you know, somewhere. And, you know, now, last year they had a system. They had kind of an amalgamation with American Airlines. And whenever you fly Pan Am, you know, it was immediately transferred to American Airlines, and you got the credit for that. So it's something like that. You don't have to separately apply to the American Airlines, you know, for that credit, or you don't even have to inform them that, look, I flew that much in Pan Am. So Pan Am immediately transferred the mileage to American Airlines. So it's something like that, you know. As you develop your attachment to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is immediately transferred to Radha Krishna. And how do we become attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? By Sankirtan. What is book distribution? Book distribution is Sankirtan. Like, sometimes people go out and do the Sankirtan by singing the holy name in the street. And sometimes we do a bigger sankirtan by distributing the books. Right? They're non-different. The objective of both the action is to give people Krishna consciousness. So book distribution is nothing else but the sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we become attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his book, through this Sankirtan Yagya, to that degree we become attached to Radha Krishna. There's no need for any separate endeavor. And now, as far as becoming, you know, developing the relationship with Guru is concerned, the best way to develop a relationship with the Guru is by, you know, serving his master. Right? Like, what does the Guru say? I mean, what is the Guru's business to his disciple? To convey the message of his Guru. It is nothing different. It's the same message is conveyed. Now, if Prabhupada gives some instruction, right, and if his disciples do not follow that instruction, right, and gives his disciples some other instruction, then it's going to cause confusion and it's going to cause impediment on the path of advancement. So, Guru's instruction should be in line with Prabhupada's instruction. Prabhupada's instruction was not different from his Guru's instruction. So this is how we maintain the parampara. So that's why I asked, you know, whether that person, the Guru, was from our sampradaya or from ISKCON or outside. From our sampradaya. Oh. Then what is important? Did that what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tell? Did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say that? That you sit down and you think of Krishna and develop your Krishna consciousness internally? No. Mahaprabhu's instruction is chant the holy name along with the others and distribute it. Jare rakho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Mahaprabhu never said that you sit down quietly in a solitary place. On the other hand, what to talk about Mahaprabhu, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very, very strong against that kind of attitude. He said, Mon tumi kisher Vaishnav, pratishthar tare nirjaner ghare tabo harinam keboli koitab. My mind, what kind of, oh mind, what kind of Vaishnav you are? You're sitting in a solitary place and chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is just your dubious endeavor for acquiring name and fame. That you're sitting down and chanting the holy name just to show others that what a great devotee you are. Pratishthattari. It's only for name and fame. You are actually a cheat. And he spoke so strongly. Now, any of his disciples will dare to say that book distribution is not important, preaching is not important, spreading Krishna consciousness is not important, it's just sit down quietly and chant. Then better, I mean, what's the difference between them and the Babajis and Radhakunda? Why are you so strongly opposed to the Babajis and Radhakunda? Is that all that we are doing? Talking about the gopis and not doing anything? When the topic came, we are discussing about the gopis. But that's not our main business. Are we talking about the gopis the whole day? So that's the difference between gopi bhava and the discussion in the class. And we are discussing about Chaitanya Charitamrita. There, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Venkat Bhatta about Lakshmi Devi not being able to enter into Vrindavan. And what is the difference between Lakshmi and the gopis? And Krishna's mood with the in Vrindavan and the mood of Krishna in Vaikuntha. So in that topic, in that context, if we discuss something pertaining to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, does it become the Gopi Bhava Club? At least I don't think so. So that's the difference. Like we do not make that the only goal. Our main business is to render devotional service by spreading Krishna consciousness movement But at the same time, we, Prabhupada wanted us to sit together and study the books. And Prabhupada gave us these books. And these books are the basis. Prabhupada is giving the purpose to check us that we do not just go astray. Prabhupada is just giving us the proper direction, how we should make the progress. Well, one who worships Lord Chaitanya without worshipping Radha Krishna is a demon? It's the other way around. I mean, how can you worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without worshipping Radha Krishna? But the other way it's possible. You may worship Radha Krishna but not recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then that is demoniac. The way there are some people during Krishna's pastimes, they worshipped Vishnu or Lakshmi Narayan but did not recognize Krishna, like Kamsa and Jarasandha. They have been branded as demons. When we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then what does it mean? We read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speak about? All the time about Radha Krishna. Can you separate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Radha Krishna? Impossible. Yeah, Tulsi is actually a great devotee from Vrindavan. She had to come to this earth planet on a material nature. And she was married to a demon called Jalandhar. Jalandharasura. She was a princess. And she was extremely faithful to her husband. She was a very chaste woman. So, once Jalandharasur performed a great, great austerity to become immortal, like the way the demons want of it. So he wanted to become immortal. And so, he got the blessings from Brahma. Brahma actually told him that he can't become immortal. He can't give him the blessings to become immortal. He could ask for any other benediction. So then Jalandharasura said, okay, then give me a benediction that as long as my wife remains chaste, no one will be able to kill me. Brahma granted that boon. And Jalandharasur went back. And he became so powerful, he was invincible, no one could kill him. So he actually drove the demigods out of heaven. He also had a fight with Lord Shiva, defeated him. I mean, he was creating havoc everywhere. The demigods got very, very worried. Then they approached Vishnu. Then Vishnu said, okay, I will take care of him. So Vishnu said, you all go and challenge him in a war. And the demigods time and time again have been defeated by Jalandharasura. So they didn't know what to do, but Vishnu said, go and wage a war against him. So they just prepared and in a half-hearted way, because umpteenth time they have been defeated by him. And Jalandharasura also got the news that the demigods challenged him to a war. So he just casually thought that, okay, what to do? Let me go and give them another thrashing. So then Jalandharasura took his army, went to the battlefield. In the meantime, Narayan appear to Tulasi, Jalandharasu's wife, in the disguise of Jalandharasu. He appeared. He couldn't take any form. So he took up the form of Jalandharasu and approached her. And she asked, what happened? You came back? I thought you went to a war. And he replied, who cares about this fight, wars with the demigods? So I thought of just seeing you, so I just left the battlefield and came to see you. And so she did not understand anything. And so this is how her chastity was broken, and Jalandharasu was killed in the battle. And when the news reached Tulasi, she became very surprised. She wondered how come her husband died, because the benediction was that as long as she was chaste, no one would be able to kill him. So then she realized that someone must have played a trick with her, and she realized that it was Narayan. So she cursed Narayan that he would become a stone for such act of treachery. And Narayan blessed her that she would become a plant, and his worship will not be complete without her leaves. So she became Tulasi. Her hair became Tulasi, and her body became a river called Gandaki. And Narayan became Shaligram Shila. And Shaligram Shila is available only in the Gandaki River, nowhere else. Because he left it for Prabhupada to do. He predicted that it will happen, and he wanted to send his very, very dear associate to accomplish that mission. That's the greatest mission in his movement. One day Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sitting in Mayapur, and he just commented that all the inhabitants of moon planet are becoming un-Krishna conscious. And soon after that he left this planet. So Mahaprabhu's dear devotees are traveling everywhere to spread the Sankirtan movement. Well, I'm sure it is. I mean, the prediction is that it will spread all over the universe. Actually, they will derive the benefit of the Sankirtan movement all over the universe. But the main Sankirtan will be throughout the Earth planet, because this is the gateway. And other preachers will go and preach to the demigods, but to participate, they all will come down to this Earth planet. When Krishna comes, he specifically comes to Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, and Kurukshetra. These are the four places where Krishna performs his pastimes. And these are the extensions of the spiritual sky.